141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as the fallout from Sunday's League Cup final shows absolutely no signs of slowing down. The VAR audio is out. Willie Collum says it's unacceptable and Rangers believe it paints the game in a bad light. Celtic are targeting a potential re-signing of Kieran Tierney and Hearts are in Europa Conference League action in Edinburgh tonight. I'm Gordon Duncan and joining me you have Simon Donnelly and Marvin Bartley.
It's been a while. Been away on holiday, Gordon. I seem to have missed a lot.
Missed a bit, I'm not going to lie.
It's been a busy period, hasn't it? And like you say, I think, you know, majority of this show, or definitely the first hour, will be going towards, you know, what Willie Collins had to say. But another trophy for Celtic, a good performance from Rangers, a nice competitive game, and that's what you want to see from, you know, when these two teams meet.
But you've been on holiday as well. Imagine you two had rocked in here tonight and with the first call, just looked at each other and said, what's he on about? I've not heard.
What's happening?
I've not heard about this.
Listen, I was lucky enough to be away as well as the big man here to my left. And I stupidly thought by Thursday night the dust might have settled, but far from it. But a fantastic final. Obviously, Rangers will feel aggrieved with the penalty decision that we'll discuss in the next 2 hours. But it was certainly thrilling to watch, up and down, ebbed and flowed, and yeah, we're still talking about it.
Come on then, 01419511025. We did say last night this would happen because Willie Collum was going to speak. The VAR audio would be released and of course it would reignite it. So I'm only half joking that we are worn down by the reaction. Let's keep going because it has changed. And then tomorrow we'll hear from Philippe Clement as well. So clear your week's schedule. But 01419511025. On that issue, what did you make of the VAR audio? What did you make of Willie Collum's criticisms? What did you make of Rangers' response? That would be the three kind of main areas today. I think kind of going over that exact incident again, maybe we've kicked the backside out of it, but certainly has moved on in those three areas. We've heard the VAR audio, we've heard Willie Collum, who was pretty critical, I think you'll agree, and we've seen Rangers' reaction by way of a statement as well. So what do you make of those? 01419511025. It is by no means the only story in town, because if there was one potential signing that Celtic could make that would cause big headlines, surely Kieran Tierney would be right up there. This has picked up a lot of pace and really interesting timing because he made his long-awaited return to the Arsenal team last night, but it now looks like he's been told they won't trigger a contract extension and Celtic seem interested. So it's a very simple Celtic fan question to you. Would you take Kieran Tierney back? How much would you enjoy that prospect? Or maybe you've got a different view on it. Again, let us know. 01419511025. We do have a big game as well. Hearts are in Europa Conference League action. They can progress to the next stage, which is quite remarkable for a team at the bottom of the Scottish Premiership. What a shot in the arm that would be. They can get some good money for winning the game tonight in isolation, and of course even more money for progressing. So thoughts there if you fancy. And we're not even that far away from the weekend. 01419511025. Why not give us a call and let us know, just in case people are worried though whilst we get the calls in. Good holiday, in case anyone cares.
Yeah, really good holiday. Watch some football.
Where were you? Are we allowed to know?
Yeah, away in Oman.
Okay, different.
Yeah, so I know. Watched the football in the hotel sports bar. There were a few Scottish fans in there. So it was good to see a couple of tops. Yeah, for the final, yeah. I thought I got far enough away so I to not come across anyone who'd be watching it. But
you should know better.
Yeah, exactly. All around the world.
Scottish football's VAR controversy made its way to Oman. That's what you're telling us. Okay, you were in France.
I was in France for a short break, three nights. Still milking my 50th, Gordon. Still milking it.
See, you're nearly 60.
For the full month. So, found a place that managed to watch the game as well. Very enjoyable from a Celtic point of view, obviously.
And now, I know the vast majority of tonight is clearly going to be looking back, and that's understandable and it's fine. But we are now right on the edge of that period of the season, aren't we? It can be defining. We're going to play before Christmas, twice in between that and the New Year games, which, as I'm sure you've noticed, contains a couple of derbies as well.
Yep.
So it's going to be incredible and so important as well.
Yeah, it's a huge period for the clubs, but you know, players as well. You feel it, the momentum that can be built up over that time, or you know, hopefully not from many clubs, the momentum that can be lost as well. Because like you said, you can come through that period and have closed a gap on a team above you and moved away from the teams, you know, kind of beneath you, but also you can get yourself pulled into something that you don't want to be in. They're talking about, you know, the Edinburgh clubs, for example. So yeah, massive period now. Managers will be saying the same thing, take it one game at a time, and it's about,
you know,
who can keep their players as fit as possible over this, you know, festive period.
Yeah, games come thick and fast. As I say, it could define certain teams' seasons over a short space of time. The interesting thing now will be to see how the likes of Rangers bounce back from the final. The 11 points behind Celtic is well documented, but they have hit a bit of form. They've hit a bit of form the last two performances. I know it's not saying much, but there'll be positives that they can take out of both of those games to get into the rest of the season.
Come on then, 01419511025. Give us a call. The story has moved on. It is a big story. Willie Collum says it's unacceptable, the decision. You've heard the VAR audio. What did you make of the audio? What did you make of Willie Collum's description of what happened? And what do you make of Rangers' response? Because, of course, as always is the case, fans want teams to go super hard and with the statements. And I can see some Rangers fans maybe thinking Rangers haven't gone as far as they would like. But then maybe the other question is, what do you do? We've obviously speculated about that in the last few nights as well. So do get your thoughts over to us, please, on 0141 951 1025. Whilst the calls come in, and I'm sure that they will, let's just get your very general brief thoughts on those three questions then. What did you make of the audio? What did you make of Willie Collum's response? And what about Rangers' statement?
I think the audio, you know, kind of listening back to it a few times, I think it was very rushed. I think they went through the decision-making very, very quickly. You know, so that didn't help. It's an important period during the game. Obviously, you know, a free kick had been given anyway, so I think they had a little bit more time to delay things. But we always hear about, you know, the countries that are taking too long, and maybe there's a little bit of that kind of pressure. But it doesn't make, you know, excuse what happened. Willie Collum, I thought, come across brilliantly well. He was very thorough in what he said. You know, he was transparent with it. He was obviously disappointed with it, as is, you know, anyone who's neutral, you know, watching those games. So I think Willie's been, you know, a breath of fresh air. He comes out, he speaks about things, and he gives his point of view. And as I said, he articulates them very, very well.
Some of them have, I have to say. Willie Collum's obviously come out and said huge mistake has been made. They have to learn from it. And as I say, similar to Marv as well, when I listened to it back, it was very rushed. The decisions were very rushed. Now they're in extra time of a huge game. There's pressure on everywhere. And I just said before the show there that, you know, that they come into criticism for how long VAR takes. And I just feel maybe subconsciously they've tried to get to that decision as quick as they can, and they've obviously missed the situation.
What about the sort of Rangers response, Marvin? And I mean, where this goes, it's not over in the minds of fans and of people, but we've spent a lot of time this week. What do you do in the event of a mistake? And it is a big one. Nobody's trying to pretend it isn't. But at the same time, it is a mistake. Mistakes have happened before. Mistakes will happen again. What did you make of the response?
It's only so far they can push. You know, like you said there, they've made their kind of stance on it very, very clear. It is a mistake. It's a huge mistake. It's in a cup final. And they've came out and they've said that. I think, you know, where the club are trying to go now, obviously with a new CEO and a new chairman coming in, it's probably at a point now where they're saying, right, you know, we've been wronged here, but we're not going to go over it. And, you know, we need to move forward from it. We need to draw a line in the sand. As disappointed as we are, you know, the Scottish FA and the SPFL or whatever know how disappointed we have been with the decision. But yeah, listen, you can put a statement out, and some people say it should be stronger. I think it gets to the point. It says their viewpoints on this, and you know, now as a football club, they need to move forward because they have a massive game at the weekend.
Come on then, 01419511025. There are other big stories we're keen to discuss at some point. Kieran Tierney back to Celtic potentially, chief among them. Hearts in Europa Conference League action. I think you would be fine with the notion that there's only one place to start. Ronnie is a Rangers fan. How are you, Ronnie?
How you doing, Pan? Are you alright? I'd like to speak to Marvin. Now, a chance, please.
They're all listening. On you go.
Right. When Julian scored for Celtic in an offside position, there was no VAR at the time. They said, well, we'll need to learn from that. Need to learn from that. The other incidents that happened to Rangers and Celtic got the decisions. We'll need to learn from that. Sunday, Diamondi tripped top when Coon scored. Rangers Stonewall penalty. What have we learned from these other decisions that went to Celtic? What have we learned? We've not learned anything. That's what the panel says. We'll learn from it. We'll learn from it. They've never learned a thing.
I think, to be fair, right, and my goodness, we're going to have to, we're going to have a job enough in our hands going through this without debating Chris Julian's offside goal in 2019 or whatever it was, right? So, one at a time. But that's a marginal offside call, as Ronnie quite rightly says, at a time when there's no VAR. So this notion that that in any way is relevant to this one, I just, I'm struggling with the link. But maybe, I know fans collect these things in a list. Ronnie's core point, though, when they talk about, you know, learning and how do you do that? Because I've said this all week, there might be a similar, there might be a mistake this weekend. Willie Collum will be absolutely stressed at the thought. But how do you, when humans are involved, how do you make sure that doesn't happen?
Well, like you said, nothing's going to be 100% correct, is it? For me, the mistake or the incident that happened at the weekend shouldn't happen. It shouldn't be something that we're going forward about talking about learning from, because, you know, we've heard it enough. It's that word, isn't it? It's a factual decision. You know, it's not a tackle. It's something that's factual, and that is the rules. They are the laws, and the penalty should have been given. So you're reliant upon the people in the VAR room, and it's a difficult job. And I don't want to sit here and, you know, hammer people who are doing the job to the best of their ability. But for me, if you are missing an incident like that, there is a problem. There's a massive problem, because you are there in the VAR room to make sure that these decisions go the correct way. And that's the biggest worry for me. I know what Ronnie's talking about in terms of learning, but I don't think this is one that you can put in a category of learning. It's one that shouldn't have happened, and it should never, ever happen again.
I know people have obviously want to really point fingers and speculate about all sorts, though, but listening to you two, Simon, is it your view that quite simply, if they give themselves another 30 seconds or another minute, that does end differently?
Possibly. So I'll go back to it. I was watching it and I was concerned from a Celtic point of view, because I thought, that's, you know, he's panicked their skills. He's tried to retrieve the situation after Celtic having secured possession of the ball, may I add. And I thought, if that goes to VAR, that could be a penalty. Now, again, when we're privy to the conversation today, yeah, but I, listen, I've been one of the guys that have criticised VAR from day one and how long it takes. And I think maybe just the enormity of it all, ironically, should maybe have slowed down and took a little bit more time. I think they've rushed it through, try to get the decision, free kick, play on, and it's only after it, when you look back, it's like, you know, you guys have made a mistake.
I mean, Ronnie, what I think loads of people agree with you when you say it's not good enough. I don't think anyone disagrees. What can you do about it, though? What do you do about it going forward?
Well, first and foremost, the lead up to the incident of the penalty, Diamondi was deliberately tripped with Coon, who scored to make it 3-2. Now, I remember Rangers playing Celtic, and they went back, and there was a incident outside the box, but they never looked at that. Why did they not look at that?
I think this is the problem that we potentially go down. What we've got with this penalty box incident is, it's factual, mm-hmm. as we said, Rich. You can set it in stone. The problem when you introduce Diamandi is that's not a fact. It's nowhere near it. It's highly debatable. And in fact, it would have been looked at the time. Obviously, the refereeing department have been very open this week. I don't think they've got any concerns about the way Diamandi goes down mm-hmm. in the lead up to the goal. No. But when you start introducing that as a fact and then piling on, it spirals out of control. The Rangers fans, they have enough to complain about here, because as we said, it's about as close to a factual one as possible, because the free kick's been given, mm-hmm. the booking's been dished out. It was just an issue of whether it was inside or outside the box.
Yeah, exactly that. Like you said, the Diamandi one is down to how, you know, whoever views it, how they see it. It's open for interpretation. That the one in the penalty box isn't, you know, and that's the one that Rangers fans need to be focusing on. You know, that's the one that obviously Willie's come out and spoken about, and that's the one that shouldn't have happened the weekend, and it should never ever happen again. You know, as Simon said, you know, VAR's been in for a while now. A lot of money is spent on it, and if that money's being spent on it, we don't want our, you know, our cup finals that are broadcast around the world. You know, everyone's coming away from that game now, you know, outside of Scotland, speaking about that one incident and saying, you know, how has that happened?
Yeah, I mean, first time ever a Celtic Rangers Cup final's gone to penalties. Six goals, an incredible sort of dramatic spectacle from the neutral, and nobody cares. Everybody's
focused on this. And as I say, it's a mistake. It's been made. I don't know what else you can do other than move on with it. One side will be aggrieved, the other side won't care less. It's the way it's went. But as an spectacle, I thought it was a really good game. Yeah, you know, there's a lot of different things in the game, ebbs and flows, and you know, that's just the way it goes sometimes.
Let's bring in Ian and get his take on today's developments, Ian.
I'm really, really unhappy. I mean, I've not phoned in for a little while on the Super Scoreboard, but the terminology that's getting used by the media and by yourselves is just, it's really frustrating. You're saying it's a mistake. How can that be a mistake? I would like somebody to tell me how two people can look at that when they can stop it, pause it, rewind it, do anything they want to prove that that's not a mistake, to prove that that's a penalty, sorry. And then the media come out and say it's a mistake. How can it be a mistake?
What word would you use for it?
It's corruption.
No, come on. Take that back, Ian. Come on, I'll give you a chance, because you have to be able to prove stuff like that.
You asked me a question and I answered it honestly.
Yeah, but that's fine, but I'm asking you to step that back, if you don't mind.
I'll step it back.
Thank you.
I'll step it back. But can you tell me how that's a mistake? How two people who have been trained up, know the laws of the game, they can measure an offside within a millimetre or 2 millimetres or something, and they can't spot that? Can you tell me how that's a mistake? See, until they start questioning, I don't know if you want to question their morality or whatever. I mean, I don't like this. Believe me, I've never in my life called out anybody and called anybody in Scottish football into question for their morals or whatever. But I just cannot see how that's a mistake unless you can prove me wrong.
But you also, this is the problem with it. You can't prove it's more than a mistake either. Let's not kid ourselves on. So that's the difficulty, Marvin, that everyone's having with this. Because
no,
I'm looking at the, you know, all week, right?
Mm-hmm.
All I've heard, and I agree with the notion, because we're all seeing it as well. We can all see it's inside. All I've heard people say is, that's inexplicable. That's inexplicable. That's inexplicable. You then hear the audio, and people like Ian go, I can't believe they've not explained it. You've just spent the last 3 days. It was always going to be like this. Once you saw the incident, and we speculated Monday, Tuesday, what was it ever going to be other than just a mad oversight where people, you know, Ian says they've got the ability to pause it, rewind it, zoom. That's the point. They did none of those things. I can't speak on behalf of people, so I don't know what they thought they would hear. Mm-hmm. But if you've spent 3 days saying there's no explanation for that, how can you be surprised when you then don't hear the explanation that you predicted there wouldn't be?
Yeah. But that's the thing. As frustrating as it is, I imagine, for Ian, it was a mistake. And, yeah, listen, it's an inexcusable one because they can rewind it, they can pause it, they can do all of these things. It's been explained, we've heard the audio, if Ian's listened to it. You know, Willie's came out and given his point of view as well. I said at the start of the show, and Simon said exactly the same thing, this should have never happened. It shouldn't have happened. But we are sitting here on Thursday, after a cup final on the Sunday, and we are still speaking about it because it shouldn't have happened. It cannot happen again. And yes, it is a major, major error on their part, but I wouldn't say it's anything more than that. When humans are involved, there is going to be these sorts of things. There's not a single person in this world that goes to work every single day and they are at 100%. Unfortunately, when it is a cup final and the world are watching you, you know, people like us are going to pick it apart, and so are football fans. That's just part and parcel of the game. But that's not me making an excuse for people in the VAR room. This shouldn't have happened. And, you know, it leaves a bitter taste in everyone's mouth walking away from that game, as we said, which was a fantastic cup final between two massive clubs.
Here's the thing. Once it goes as far as Ian takes it, it sounds like I'm disagreeing. But actually, I get the logic, Simon, in the sense that we all feel the same, that when you watch it, you go, how have they not seen that? They did. They just obviously did. So
they did. And of course,
whether that's inexplicable or impossible to you,
listen, it'll be a sore one for, because if it was Celtic the other side, the Celtic fans would be feeling the same. We've seen mistakes like this in different games. I go back to maybe off on a tangent, Liverpool, Tottenham, a big mistake, but
unfortunately
for us, it's in a major final between two huge rivals. It's sitting at three each in extra time. It's a crucial moment, and they've made the mistake there.
Because that's the thing again, Marvin. It's the perfect ingredients for disaster, because that might happen in the second minute, and I'm not saying it then becomes okay. It doesn't become okay, yeah. But the temperature on this is way down if that happens in the second minute. So it's been the I don't think we'll get away with blaming fatigue for the VAR officials that it went to extra time. I somehow don't think people will buy that. But 01419511025, if you call us now, we'll do our best to get you on next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now.
Hugh.
Merry Christmas from Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Marvin Bartley and Simon Donnelly are here. 01419511025. You can tweet us as well at Clyde SSB. So let's get stuck back in on the phones with Dale, who's on. How are you, Dale?
I'm absolutely fine, gentlemen. I've got 2 points, and the second point is probably the better of the two. I'd like to first make a point. I think.
So is this your bad point first, or?
Yes, I think probably yourselves, right? having listened to the audio, and I think we can all become pseudo psychologists, but I think even Mr. Colum mentioned it, that how it was that close question to start off with. About tell me it's outside the box. I'm kind of paraphrasing, but it was almost that fear for me in giving Rangers that decision at that stage in the game. Please tell me it's outside the box. That, and again, I think that puts a slant on it. The second part, and you'll hear it, and I don't know who it is, whether it's Frank Connor or Alan Muir, one of them says it's 100% outside the box, 100%. And I think that's where we have all of the problem. In that we've all looked at that, even in a second glance, I've looked at it, right? And the time that they even had, even when it was shown today on YouTube, it's clear that it was inside the box. But I do think, in terms of they need to look at the language, and I think be very, very careful in saying things like 100% or tell me it's outside the box, because in both those ways, it puts things into people's mind. But my main point is, guys, there's two footballers there. How do Rangers players move on from this? One, there's that big disappointment. Rangers have been building and building and been doing really well over the last few weeks, right? But one, they've got to cope with the initial disappointment of losing a cup final and then really feeling absolutely robbed and devastated. How do you manage that, and how does that motivate, without considering what Rangers have been through over the last two seasons, disappointment after disappointment? How do we get to that point where we turn that into a positive? And how would you do it as either players or coaches?
Dale, I thought they were both great points. I think you were harsh.
The first one was very impressive, so he bettered it again.
Go on then, start in reverse order.
How did he move on?
Does this mean Rangers players are particularly affected and particularly disappointed, or is this stuff at this stage more for fans and club officials?
No, I think if I'm a player, I'm hugely disappointed as well. But as I said at the start of the show, I was on this show a few weeks ago saying I don't see where the goals are coming from in Rangers' team. I think a lot of Rangers fans 4 or 5 weeks ago were looking in this final intrepidation, like Celtic would walk all over them. Since then, they've started scoring goals. I've got a couple of players back. The striker for me, Igimani, is a threat. They've done well in Europe against Spurs. They took that into the game at the weekend, and it was as close as you can get. You know, the final. So I think they have to take that into, yes, there's a gap in the league, but you can only move on to the next game. The next game's at home against Dundee at the weekend, and the 50,000 fans will be there demanding them to win. That's the nature of it. Huge disappointment at the weekend, but they have to move on. They have to take, I think, positivity from the performances of late. Those two games and the two or three before, where they start to score goals again, and look a threat going forward.
Yeah, probably the difference between me and Simon playing at the top. For me, I think as a player, I would struggle. I think I'd find it hard. I think the fact that Rangers, where they are currently in the league, how the season's gone, the amount of people that have written them off, I think, you know, when that decision happens against you and then you lose that cup final, yes, there's been a couple of good performances recently. I just think as a player, that's all you keep thinking about. What if? I think if it had been the other way around and Celtic have won a lot recently, won the league, they're flying high, I think it would have been easy for their players mentally to get over. I think Rangers players will find it slightly harder. As Simon said, come the weekend, you know, that they've got this massive game against Dundee that they need to go in, out there and perform. But I wouldn't be too surprised if there was a hangover from some of the players, definitely mentally, and especially the younger ones, Miles, going into that game.
They've got a game against Celtic on the 2nd of January, which is, what, three, 4 games, maybe?
Yeah.
They have to make sure that they don't drop any more points.
Now, oh, 100%.
It's a foregone that Celtic will go and win all, but that's the way you think. You have to chase your rivals down. And, you know, yes, it's a really sore one for them at the weekend, but the only way, you know, you have to move on.
And there can't be a worse way, can they, than losing the cup final than the situation that happened?
There can't be. There can't be. Of course there can't be. But again, 3-4 weeks ago, you know, everybody was telling me it was a foregone conclusion in the final. So, you know, they've came back, they've bounced back in that respect, you know, ran Tottenham close on the Thursday night. And, yeah, it's a sore one. It's, listen, that's sport, that's football. But their rivals have got a distance between them just now. They have to try and retrieve that.
Dale's given, I think, quite a good insight into the people's feelings on the VAR audio, because Willie Collum does point it out. This might seem like a small thing to people, but since we're asking all these really difficult questions, like how do you improve that? How do you make sure that doesn't happen again? It might be that it's just a number of small details that add up. I know people almost want to shake VAR and say, you just need to see it next time. Life just doesn't work like that. So whether it is, I don't know if you remember the you, I think, brought up, there was a proper protocol issue in the Liverpool Spurs game. Was that last season?
Yeah.
Like, horrendous.
Yeah.
And I think, like, RAF pilots and air traffic controllers were brought in to, like, teach the VARs how to be so efficient and so clear in their communication. Again, we can kind of laugh and you can scoff, but ultimately, maybe it is small tweaks, that closed question of, that was outside the box, do you agree? Just rather than tell me where do you think that is, maybe that does make the difference for people. So again, whether you see a material change in that sort of stuff and whether it makes all the difference, I don't know. But I think that is that maybe part of it all leading as we and packaged up and rushed as you kind of blamed.
I think it being rushed, and like you said, the language you know that was used wasn't acceptable. It was almost like you could have that conversation with one person. You know, like Dale said there, it was almost like, I'm telling you what it is, you just basically agree with me, rather than what do you think. And that's why you have two of them in there, because, you know, two minds should be better than one in that situation. But it was almost like they were closed off, so that doesn't help. And I think Willie's spoken about it before in terms of language and what he wants used and what's acceptable and what's not acceptable. And yeah, it needs to be taken on board, because as I said, all of these small things hopefully means that we won't, you know, see a situation like this again.
I also worried, but I thought this would happen. Just a slight psychological difference from, I think, us hearing it now to them at the moment, because we know what we're looking for. Does that make sense? I wouldn't even dream of trying to excuse, because nobody is. Willie Collum's not trying to excuse it. It's unacceptable. I'm not saying that. But obviously when we watch it now, we know that it's in. You're kind of waiting on it coming. So then you're going, how can they not see that?
Yep.
It's probably just a couple of percent different at the time, where whether your head is a bit scrambled, or I think Willie Collum explained it again in terms of small things they can learn. The assistant VAR, just an important detail, maybe the assistant VAR is writing down the booking for Liam Scales. Do you need to do that at that point? Scrap that for a second. You know, concentrate on the job in hand. But for us now, we almost know what's coming, and it's you do kind of cringe, if that's the right word, when you hear it, because you think, how is that possible? How are those words matching
what's on the screen?
What's on that screen?
And that is, like you said, that's a massive problem when that does happen, because, you know, I go back to the same point of watching the game live and watching it on TV. I know it's probably very difficult for people who are watching it actually at the game, but the first thing that I said, and, you know, Simon's agreed with it, you know, that I thought, wow, that's a penalty kick. And the fact that it doesn't materialise to that shows you that, you know, two of us not trained referees or anything like that, if we can see it, they should see it. But as you said, you know, Gordon, it is kind of the terminology that they are using, and, you know, somebody writing something down when it's still being played out, that doesn't need to happen. They need to be a lot more efficient in terms of what they're doing. As I said, you know, not that it makes it right or wrong, it's such a big game, you have to get these big decisions
I think
right.
That's affected them as well, though. We can sit here and speculate, but I think the enormity of the situation, they've rushed that through and they've made the mistake. And I think it's because, I mean, stupid. I refereed games in training session. You feel under pressure, like just at that level, and you know, to take that.
You're hoping they're above that though, but I think it's human nature. Okay.
But it's just, I'm thinking the pressure they were under.
Do you not think being in a room, it takes that away though, Si?
I don't know, because I've been in that. So I went to do something up at those offices, totally different. It was the day Celtic were playing Motherwell, and they showed me in whilst the game was going on, and it was Willie Collum that was refereeing it. It was the game Matt O'Reilly scored right at the death last season, and they wanted to show how the thing was. It was the boy Crawford Allen showing us. And what I took from it was a lot of information getting spoke in the studio to the referee, to his assistant. That's loads of information. Now, we've moved on a year, so you'd like to think it'd be a wee bit, but that was my take from it. I was like, there's a hell of a lot going on there. How can they? And then you've got the players on the park, sitting the referee. So I know this is a completely different thing, but...
No, I get that. I think that's clearly a bit valid, but for other people, like, this isn't even a hard this isn't a hard example of that, because the ball's dead and
see,
stuff.
He's hoping his team will spot it, obviously.
Is Dale still there? What did you make of Rangers' reaction? The statement saying that they welcome the transparency, they think it's damaging for the credibility. Is there much more Rangers can do? Do you want them to go further? I don't even know what further looks like.
The only thing that I would say is we need to change the urban myth of penalty Rangers. It's been said at Celtic AGMs, it's been said in the media, it's become an urban joke. If we look at Rangers this season, we've had no league penalties. Even in the last 2 years, I think one of the two seasons, Ross County had more penalties than us. I think what we have to say is, Rangers, if you look at last season as well, and I'm looking at statistics and trying to be fair, Rangers had more VAR decisions against them than any other club in Scotland. If you compare that to Celtic's, you've got a 1 in 5 more chance, right? As a Rangers team, of getting a VAR decision against you, a VAR decision against you than Celtic would be based on last season. Now, I'm trying not to say there's corruption. I don't believe that. I think you guys have alluded to a bit about human factors. And I also think there's an unconscious bias right now. I think when the team is doing well, right, and I've seen it through the Rangers years, and I'm sure Simon would feel this if he was honest about it. He felt decisions went against them and went for Rangers. I think when things are going well for you, things tend to happen for you. Whether that's the universe, whether that's your belief, whether that's whatever else, right? But it does feel, it does stick. I was there with a wee boy on Sunday, and we'd been at the previous cup final where a VAR decision rules out the goal. And I look at that one and I see Raskin getting held back not once but twice before that foul's committed. And we don't get the penalty for that and the goal's disallowed. But Diamondi gets brought down the box, but he gets pulled back, rightly so, for a Carlton Vickers foul before that. You know, weird. And again, even I've spoken to a lot of Rangers supporters, you're in the position, see, whenever Rangers score the first goal against Celtic, we're looking around and waiting for something to happen. Because out of the last 10 games, we've had 5 goals knocked off. There was a Morelos one, which I think most people would agree wasn't a foul, or if it was a foul, it's a penalty first to Rangers. The Dessers one, which I think there's a lot of argument with, that he gets the ball in first, if the actual player kicks him and brings them down, then it's a foul to Rangers. But because he didn't, it's a foul to Celtic. You know, there's other ones, there's conjecture, and all these things are conjecture. This one was factual. And it just feels like another decision that we don't get in a big game against Celtic. And some of the things are borne out. Do I believe there's corruption? No, I don't. Do believe there's unconscious bias, and I think you guys have hit it in the head. I think with this situation, there's a lot about human factors. You talked about RAF and that being brought in down south, and that's the things they look at. If you look at the film Sully, about you seeing something the first time or the second time, there's a whole load of industry in that people don't understand, and it must be so difficult for the guys. I feel sorry for them, but in the same right, it's Rangers that have lost out in a cup here, and for our history, it's a big, big deal for us. And it's a big disappointment. And it's all right saying they made a mistake, which I do think they did, but it's dramatically affected us. Tart steps up 9 times out of 10, 99 times out of 100, he scores that goal. It's very difficult for Celtic to come back. And we've lost out because of a mistaken error. There's no going over it now. We can't redo it, right? We've got to move forward. And I think that's why I asked that question. We need to move forward. And we need to use it as a catalyst. And say, see, come that 2nd of January, we're not going to even give the referees a chance, even if there is a mistake or error. We'll win 3-1 or we'll win 4-1 against Celtic. And see the way we've played the last few weeks, I'm absolutely buoyed. and I'm really looking forward to how we move going forward. Hopefully this isn't a kicker that brings them down. Mm. Hopefully it is that motivation. But thanks for your time, gentlemen, and for listening. And as I say, I hope for everybody's sake, it's a football match. But I'll tell you one thing before I go. Sunday, we've not concentrated on what went on in the centre of Glasgow. For both clubs, that's an utter disgrace. And that maybe needs to take some precedent now after we've sorted out this decision about how we stop fans running amok, because there are no fans moving forward and people can go about their Sunday shopping safely and people can go to and from a football match safely as well.
Dale, you had a lot to get off your chest and I don't mind it at all. That's what we're here for. That was Dale in Law, 01419511025. Give us a call right now and we'll try and get you on next.
Christmas Cash Countdown. Win over £500,000. Clyde One.
I was just scrambling to find my information on this topic, and Simon Donnelly
thought I wanted
his glasses, which would have been unlikely, I have to say.
It won't be long, Gordon.
There we go. Tomorrow, someone will win over £500,000 in the final Christmas Cash Countdown. We've got a huge pile of cash under the Christmas tree, not that one behind Marvin Bartley, but it could transform not only your Christmas, your year, your life, because it's £520,000. Pounds. Text yes to 61025 and you get 541 on your first entry. 250 to text plus your standard network rate. You can enter on our website for 250 or call 0330 880 4523, and the calls are charged at a standard rate. It's over 18s only, and the rules for this rare network competition are at Clyde1.com. The lines close 5 p.m. tomorrow. Do not miss out on this just because you're late, like Marvin Bartley always is, and you just forgot about it. It's so simple. Just answer your phone if we ring. The money is yours. £520,000. Text yes to 61025.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Head to at Clyde SSB on X now. Talking baubles all year long. Merry Christmas from Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Simon Donnelly and Marvin Bartley are here. Willie in Tillicutry is going to join them. Hi, Willie.
Good evening.
How are you?
Not too bad, man.
Good.
Not too bad.
What you got for us?
Well, I'll tell you what, mate. I've been a Rangers supporter for God knows how many years, since a wee boy, and I'm 68 year old. But I am getting sick to the back teeth of the Rangers supporters hanging on by the teeth of a decision that is made on the line. We had a chance on that game. We had a 4-on-1 on Celtic. The guy made a wrong decision. If they had done that, we would have won the game. So I don't know where they're going. We got beat. Done. We got beat by a wrong decision. Never mind the referees and the VAR. Rangers blew it.
Must be hard to take as a Rangers fan though, Willie, that, you know, if the refereeing fraternity and whatever coming out and saying it should have been a penalty late in a cup final and you don't get it. I mean, clearly there can be more than one factor. You're absolutely right, but must still be quite hard to take, no?
Of course it's hard to take, but maybe the guy made the wrong decision. If he made the right decision, there was two guys on the left, a goal, bang.
Yeah, and by the way, I think that has been mentioned this week, clearly not as much, but I think it has been, and it is important, because I know nobody wants to hear it, but there is an obvious scenario here that Rangers get the penalty and don't score it. There's an obvious scenario that Rangers get the penalty, score it, but it lights a fire under Celtic and they go up and score again. So I get the point, and then but at the same time, it doesn't make it okay either. But do you know what I mean? It's just this notion that it's like that guaranteed Rangers 100% win the cup. If that, you can all have your theories and feelings that the game would have swung that way, and how could I possibly contradict them, because they're hypothetical anyway. But I know what Willie means, that there is more to it.
Yeah, there's definitely more to it. And he speaks about, you know, the situation where they have a 4v1, and at no point when Rangers are attacking I'm sure even Si, you know, sitting at home thinking, or in France rather, that, oh wow, Celtic aren't going to be able to stop this. I at least thought they would get a shot away. And I said, you know, after the game that I thought, you know, Carter Vickers does extremely well. I'm going to put it down to really, really good defending. And once the ball goes that side, he does extremely well. He then slides and blocks across. But from a Rangers point of view, that's something you do in training, you know, and you're getting shots every single time just to work on overloads. And he just makes the wrong decision, as Willie said there. So yes, the penalty incident we've spoken about and we will continue to speak about, no doubt about it, because it was a wrong decision made by VAR. But if you're talking about in terms of in the game, you know, that was another massive, massive turning point where, yep, you know, if that had been at the other end, you know, you'd have bet, you know, your last pound on Celtic definitely getting a shot away, but if not scoring a goal.
Thank you to Willie. What about Ryan and Bears Den, Ryan?
Hi, evening guys.
Hello.
Evening, mate.
What it is I've actually looked at it, as I say, see the decision, my initial thought was it was a free kick with a pull. I thought that Scales had a wee pull, which I thought, if I had a look at it, was a penalty. I'd say that he fouled him, he kind of grabbed him. I think that what's happening here is everybody's looking at this one decision. It was a great game, it had everything. Rangers looked as if had it won in the first half. Celtic came out in the second half, and then when they take the lead, Rangers managed to claw it back twice. It gave us everything, and I just feel after extra time, everybody's focusing on one decision in the game and taking away from the game, and it's probably because of the Deckard situation. But I think it's going to make it hard for anybody to do this job of VAR. And I know it seems dead easy, you look, and it should, but there's always going to be, it was on the line, especially in the decision. I mean, I wouldn't want to make that decision 120 minutes into a game, so I can understand how John beat midfield, and I bet you if it was the other way around, it would have been just as much hassle for him to say, well, 119 minutes is a penalty to Celtic. But I think some of the words, I was listening to some of the people on tonight, I think some of the words that are getting through about a wee bit too much. I mean, I can remember a Celtic Kilmarnock game, the ball hits the Kilmarnock player right in the arm, stops it going in. Celtic could still be playing the moon when they've won that game. Kilmarnock were better on the day. And I think a lot's getting took away from the actual game just with this one decision.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's hard to argue with the general point.
Yeah, listen, I said at the start of the show, I thought the game had everything in it, you know, and not good for stress levels depending on what side you want to win, but it was exciting and it went to and fro. As I say, that point that Willie made a minute ago about the 4v1 was pivotal at that certain time of the game, because Greg Taylor equalises with the fortunate deflection shortly after, and then Celtic then get the second goal quite quick. And I actually thought at that, right, okay, Celtic have because they didn't play well in the first half, Celtic have dealt with that, they've got to 2-1, I think they're going to kick on here. Then suddenly Rangers came back, so the game was kind of to and fro. It goes to penalties, which is exciting enough, but yeah, as Ryan alludes to there, unfortunately we're all focusing on this, because listen, if it was the other way, Celtic fans would be reacting exactly the same. It's a crucial moment of the game.
Is that maybe where, I know it's not time to get all sort of serious about it when we'd rather just argue back and forward, but is that where it is important that you acknowledge the mistake, and everybody has, and you strive for better, and of course, but we probably all just need to be careful at just not tipping that over the edge.
Yeah, it doesn't.
Some of the stuff that Ryan says, I mean, look, we'll address the elephant in the room. When anything happens, in this occasion, against Rangers, but previously, loads of times, against Celtic, but there's a massive groundswell out there on social media in particular that it was somehow deliberate. You know, it's a mm-hmm. deliberate decision. And see, just from a human perspective, you imagine Alan Muir and Frank Connor this week. Whatever you were doing on Monday, you get called away from it and you get hauled in to see your boss. He presumably gave you a private dressing down, told you that you wouldn't be refereeing in the games coming up. You then woke up on Tuesday and your name was in the back page of every newspaper in the country. You're on here every night for sure in shows like it. Roll around Wednesday and Thursday, your boss goes public in front of now goodness knows how many views mm-hmm. to say that you are unacceptable and you committed a mistake that wasn't even a difficult decision. The weekend will roll round, you won't referee then. Who knows when you'll get back in, and when you do, there's going to be a spotlight on you. The notion that anyone does that just to give their favourite team a wee nudge, yeah, to me, just
and,
personally,
and the knowledge gone
is
that
baffling.
They know that the conversation's been recorded.
Exactly.
Time,
yeah.
So
Can we be serious for a minute?
That's the thing, you know. But it's
both ways, by the way. For any group of fans that thinks that I mean,
it's
would
a mistake.
You do that? Would you put yourself through that?
No one's going to do that, are they? There's no one going to do that. And these two definitely haven't done that. As you said, you know, it's about addressing the elephant in the room, which we have done. And I agree, the most disappointing thing, like Ryan's saying, it was such a good game of football. Genuinely, obviously, Rangers fans will be disappointed because they haven't won the game. Celtic fans will be delighted because they have won the game. But from a neutral's point of view, it really, really was a brilliant advert for Scottish football. It was a great cup final. The closest these two teams have been in any, you know, one game on its 120 minutes. Had penalty kicks, had absolutely everything. Had a goalkeeper taking a penalty. And so much of that is being lost based on, you know, what happened in that VAR room. So, yeah, listen, one day we will move on from it, but I don't think that day's today, Gordon.
Not one single call this week about the penalty Motherwell should have got at Fir Park on Saturday. Not one, I tell you. Anyway, let's play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time. There will be no controversy on this. I will see you to it. Except, can we call back? I maybe should have announced this to the producers from last night. Can we call back the guy from last night as well at some point? I've been inundated with messages today.
Guy at one.
He got them all right.
Yeah.
And I didn't let him go for the 10.
Oh, right.
Well, I was listening to
it. I've had sleepless nights over it.
But I didn't know. Do they get to go for the 10 if they've got?
Yes, of course.
Right,
they do.
I didn't know that.
What was he up to?
Six, I think.
He got them all right. I didn't let him go for the 10. See, mistakes good. Happen. Sometimes you just don't realise you've done it. You just gloss over.
To be fair, the boss wants you to just message me.
And you just
dressing down.
Willie's waiting in there.
I'll be off next week's show for this. Anyway, let's play Beat the Pundit. And your lines close at 7, so be quick.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check out the Clyde One Facebook page now. Hugh Keevan's first Christmas was the first Christmas. Season's greetings from Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Marvin Bartley and Simon Donnelly are here. This was the day we heard the VAR audio from You Know What at the weekend. We heard Willie Collum describe it as unacceptable and not an easy mistake to make. And we've heard Rangers say that this is a bad look for Scottish football. But what do you say to it all? What's your reaction to the latest updates? If you want to keep going on it, of course you can. There are other big talking points it would be nice to get to at some point, though. Kieran Tierney back to Celtic, chief among them. Is that something that floats your boat, Celtic fans? Are you excited by the prospect? Do you think it would happen? Do you think it should happen? Give us all your thoughts there. And Hearts are in Europe as well. So let's play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Come on then, Beat the Pundit time. Rab is in Northampton. How are you, Rab?
Hi, fine. Panel, how's yourselves?
Good,
all right, good, mate.
First time you've played?
First time I've played, aye.
How would you rate yourself as a player? Good standard?
Well, I mean, as a footballer.
No, it's a Beat the Pundit player. I don't care about your keepy uppies.
As a player, I don't know. You know, I mean, normally I'm quite good on sport and all that, but when, normally when you're sort of on radio and all that, you get a bit nervous, don't you?
Are you a good footballer? You know,
no, Robbie.
just in case he was really good at that instead.
I hope I'm not as bad as the questions as I am as a footballer.
Ah, you'll be fine, Rab. Heads, it will be Simon Donnelly. Tails, it'll be Marvin. And by the way, you couldn't have picked a better night, Rab. They've both been
finger on
holiday.
The pulse.
They've both been on holiday. They both got back yesterday and they both gave a right good kicking at the hospitality in the respective countries that they were in.
I don't think Simon of the holiday blues being a Celtic player.
That's true.
Good point.
Would that be a fair assessment of the mindset that you two are in?
Yeah. Very nice assessment.
I hope he gets it tonight.
Yeah, and I'm hoping that he gets it. It's a real struggle today.
Right, heads at Simon, tails it's Marvin.
Oh man.
The relief in seconds.
Good luck, Rab.
Cheers, lad.
One right answer will do it, mate.
What was the time difference in Oman?
4 hours, so I'm four hours ahead, yeah.
Because I think I sent you messages in what would have been the middle of the night at one point.
It was
at
half one in the morning.
I just realised. I've got to plan the shows, for goodness sake. Right, Rab, what we do here is give Marvin something else to listen to so he can't hear us. You get 30 seconds, answer as many as you can and pass if you don't know the answer, okay?
No worries.
Right, 30 seconds on the clock and your time starts now. Who scored Celtic's first penalty in the shootout?
Pass.
What club did Paul Gascoigne join after leaving Rangers?
After leaving Rangers?
Yep.
Pass.
Name any SPFL team with Athletic in their name.
Alloa.
True or false, no Scottish football game's ever been played on Christmas Day.
That's true.
What's the other Scottish Premiership side that Stuart Kettlewell has managed?
Dundee.
Okay, let's bring him back. Marvin Bartley, can you hear us?
Yeah.
Got a comment right at the start of the show, and I'm sorry to say I can't remember where it is, so I can't give the person the mention, but they were praising your festive looking cardigan, they said.
Oh, thanks.
You just dressed up for winter,
aren't
you?
No, I'm ready for, you know, it's Christmas, isn't it? I had a Christmas jumper in the car as well, in case you two had gone into the spirit, but yeah.
Just to be, because you know, it's the Clyde One Christmas night out tonight.
Yeah.
Is that what you're
wearing?
I'll
be there. It's looking very, yeah, I've also got a Christmas cardi, whatever you want.
Just check.
Either or.
No judgment attached. Right, 30 seconds on the clock, Marvin. Same questions. Your time starts now. Who scored Celtic's first penalty in the shootout?
Adam Eder.
What club did Paul Gascoigne leave after joining Rangers?
Join
after leaving Rangers.
Middlesbrough.
Name any SPFL team with Athletic in their name.
Annan.
True or false, no Scottish football game's ever been played on Christmas Day.
False.
What's the other Scottish Premiership side Stuart Kettlewell has managed?
Ross County.
What is the first name of Scotland internationals Boyd, Martin and Commons?
Chris.
Okay.
Christmas.
Rab, what are you thinking?
Nah.
Just nah, not today.
That's wonderful,
I'm
Rab.
Honest.
At least you're honest.
I like that, Rab.
Let's go through them. To be fair, Rab's probably tried to forget who scored Celtic's first penalty, so I don't grudge him that. It was Adam Eder. Yeah. Where are you going? You must have been paying attention from Oman.
Yeah.
And fair play to you, surviving me butchering the question in the second one.
Confused me.
Paul Gascoigne did go to Middlesbrough after leaving Rangers. It was 2-0 to Marvin. You got on the scoreboard eventually, Rab, because you had the choice for Athletic of Dunfermline, Alloa, Annan or Forfar. You both got it, 3-1 to Marvin. This was where I worried for you, Rab, because when the 50-50s are going against you, you know you're in trouble. There has been games on Christmas Day, yeah, in Scotland. Apparently not since 1976, when St Mirren played Clydebank.
Yep.
And by the way, Hugh Keevans must have been there at that.
Oh, definitely.
I'm surprised it's that recent. I thought it'd have been.
Would you? Yeah. So Marvin 4-1 in front. The other Scottish Premiership side that Stuart Kettlewell's managed is Ross County, I'm afraid. Rab, 5-1 Marvin Bartley.
Good training camp across there. Good.
And the first name of Scotland internationals Boyd, Martin and Commons is Chris. Ah, I can't believe
so
it.
So I've got six. Can I
did
play
Rab
that, please?
Not get that? They didn't get that far.
Do you know what? I'm going to take that one off you. I'm going to.
Which one?
I'm making that question null and void because, well, Chris
Commons.
It's a different. It's spelt. Chris has got a K for Boyd, doesn't he? And Commons, but Martin's just got a CH. So taking it off you.
You asked me the question.
Right. So you're on for the.
Yeah,
10.
I want to keep.
Do you
going.
Want to go for it right now?
As opposed to when.
No, I just mean like play some tense music and stuff, get a bit of drama going.
Yeah, let's go for it.
Don't mess this up. How many men Scotland internationals currently play in Serie A?
3.
Well done. I thought you were going to get it wrong. Adams, McTominay, Gilmore. Because Doig.
No, I'm just happy you've got here.
Doig's in
six.
Serie B.
Yeah.
And Liam Henderson's uncapped.
Yeah.
Oh, impressive. Who's currently top of League One?
Arbroath.
Wow.
Come on!
What's he got left? 3?
2. What's wrong with your count?
Who is the only English Premiership manager, English Premier League manager,
my heart,
currently, who has played in Scotland?
Current Premier League manager has played in Scotland.
Hurry up. Hurry up.
Come on,
3,
on.
2, 1, and
Mateo!
He did. He said it in time.
One more. Come on. I'm sweating.
I can see that.
Oh.
Come on.
If you were sat in, what kind of question is this? I'm furious
if
at that. I'm going to change this. I'm changing this.
No, you cannot.
If you were sat in the south stand at Hampden, what direction would you be facing?
Think about it.
North.
It's the.
Get me back to a man.
Pathetic.
Flapping out for a 10.
Honestly. Be quiet. People are just in their
eardrums. They just turn their radios down or TVs.
There is one guy that always moans about your laugh. He's going to be furious. Rab, I am so sorry that you had to witness that. That wasn't fair, was it?
That's all right. I'm still just trying to come to terms with getting gub six, man.
Ah, Rab. Do you know what? I liked you, Rab, though. I liked your style. You've taken that on the chin. You're a good man. You take care.
Take care, Rab.
Have a nice Christmas and
you
a happy New Year.
And you, Rab. Well done. Good man. Take care. That was Rab. I mean, I say well. I don't mean well done because that would be a lie, but
that is tremendous.
Half dozen to ten, but unbelievable.
Your second of the season? Or was that last season?
No, that's last season. My heart really started to go, though. Really did.
What's wrong with you? Seriously, do you take this?
Nah. That is...
It's not to be sniffed
at. Nah, exactly.
Ten.
I'm annoyed at that. Get those questions out my sight.
Oh, man. Arteta. Little beauty. Yeah.
Speaking of which, how's this for a seamless transition? Arteta, Arsenal, Tierney, Celtic. You like that?
Yeah, I do like that.
Would be a good time to give us your thoughts, Celtic fans. Kieran Tierney back to Celtic. Is that one you would be really keen to see happen? If not, why not? Do you think it could happen? All those sorts of questions are swirling around because the stories are out there and the story has legs. This is not like mad speculation. This is on the money, this stuff, that Celtic are looking at that and trying to potentially bring Kieran Tierney back to Celtic. So what would you make of it? 01419511025. Give us a shout or tweet us as well. Give us all your thoughts. We can talk Hart. By the way, big night for Hearts, isn't it?
Massive.
Bigger night for Hearts than it was for you on Beat the Pundit. Just remember that. Have some perspective.
What
takes them through a win?
Yeah. But it's... The performances of recent haven't been great. Mm. I think the honeymoon period's over for Neil Critchley. Definitely after the losing to Kilmarnock, when Kilmarnock had played the 10 men for 85, 86 minutes, they cannot afford to not win today. A draw, a defeat would be unthinkable for them, a draw as well. I think you really start to see the fans turn again ever so quickly because they haven't had the upturn in results that was probably expected by this point. So, huge game for them. And financially as well, Gordon, absolute massive money if they can get through.
Oh no. You're going to absolutely...
What's happened?
This is...
No, you're not taking it back.
I am. And blame Roger Hanna. Well,
what?
Blame Roger Hanna for pointing it out and blame the producer for writing the wrong question.
You can't take the
wrong question.
The wrong answer.
What? You can't take the 10 away from him, surely.
I can.
Who's?
Lewis Ferguson. Plays in Serie A. There's four.
Nah.
So,
hang on a minute.
I was about to say, how's that affect, but Rab only get one, didn't he?
So, how many caps has Lewis Ferguson got?
He's still capped.
How many caps? What, in a competitive game?
Yes, loads.
Is he for Scotland?
Of course he is.
So what was
his Davis? How many Scots are in Serie A? He said three. It's four.
Nah, I want my 10 back. That is not acceptable.
Take that
chance.
Producer's got
over.
Three as well.
Just blame them through there.
Hopeless. No. I can only go with what is written there.
Roger Hanna brought it up.
He sent me a message. Do you know what's so good about that? Do you know what's so good? Right, this is exactly, since we're talking about VAR, that's like somebody scoring.
No.
Me sliding in the corner. Yep. Shut off.
And then we moved on.
Roger,
hang on. Have I lost my 10?
Of course.
No, but it can only go with what's there. So if I'd have said four, you'd have said I was wrong and we couldn't have gone on.
Yeah, but it's, you've got in the name of accuracy.
What are you saying?
I'm going with Roger Hanna in the VAR office.
Wait, it's written down wrong, as three.
It doesn't matter. But listen, don't trust what we say on this sheet. It's wrong every night.
I need to look into this.
Do you know the worst of it is I threw the sheet away as well.
I need to look into this. Roger, should be doing work.
This is incredible. I've never seen the likes because it was the most enthusiastic celebration.
Champions League music.
I'm looking it up.
What do you mean?
He does play there. You don't need to look that up.
He's like the captain of Bologna.
I know he's a captain. Honestly, he's got loads. He's got
double figures of caps.
Has he?
Of course he has.
Yeah.
How many?
I'd say teens.
Oh, mid-teens. 12 caps. Well, there was four players and producers in my ear, by the way, for anyone who's watching at home. Giving it the 12 caps.
Do you know what, though?
I want my 10.
Poor from you.
You can't yet.
But poor from the producers. I'll hang them out to dry with you.
So can I have my 10?
I think we should know.
How?
I think we're like Willie Colum here. How'd you make that mistake? That's a bad mistake.
That's an interview for another day. Like, at the end of the day, the VAR office made the wrong decision.
They made the wrong decision,
Gordon, but the game played on. So, unfortunately, human error, we've spoken about it. Oh, I'm putting a statement out.
Did you get all the questions right? No. Is the answer.
According to your sheet, yes.
I don't care what the sheet says. It's wrong every night, genuinely.
But so that sheet.
We're trying to learn from it. We're trying to not make mistakes in the future.
Yeah, but you need to give me my 10, then learn after.
Nah, I can't. do you know what's great? This is probably.
No, nothing's great about this.
No, this is probably. I wouldn't dare say that this is what's actually going on, but this is probably what's going on in the referees' dressing room at hand, and they're probably all trying to blame each other. The producers in there are throwing producer John under the bus. He's not here.
He's not right. Okay,
he's at the Clyde One Christmas do, but he apparently wrote the questions. But did any of you check them? Do you know what I mean? That would be the other.
John's not caring.
Imagine Roger Hanna is sitting somewhere in some office listening to this.
Yep.
And he thought, do you know what? Rather than saying to Marv, you only got 9, but I haven't told Gordon, he has gone straight to Gordon. Straight to him, Si. That's the sort of thing I'll do to you.
You can't just hand out 10s to anybody.
You so can't if you don't earn it.
I have a problem with what's written on the paper should be what we go with. No, what question was that?
How many Scots?
No, but what? How many? You basically wasted my time.
Was that included? No, it was the one after, wasn't it? One after competition finished.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So I've just gone and answered the rest for the sake of it.
Yeah. And did a lap of the studio.
Yeah, exactly.
The Champions League music.
Because guaranteed, somebody in there is now going to stitch up. There's going to be a video of your celebration, and then like the
take it away.
The kind of it'll cut to you getting the celebration cut.
And
short.
I'm going to edit in the producers' faces onto that same video. I'm so disappointed. Let's move on, Gordon. Let's
tell
just
you,
move on.
You're going to take to social media after that.
Yeah,
oh, dear.
And anyway, tag Gordon too.
014. I might have muted my social media notifications today, just for what it's worth. The busy couple of days, in case you hadn't noticed. I'm joking, all feedback is welcome. 01419511025. Kenny's on the line, take it away, Kenny.
Good evening. Maybe I'm oversimplifying it, but see, because the VAR is supposed to be there to assist the referee, the fact that the referee had to ask the question, is that outside the box? Would it not have been better just blow the penalty, blow for a penalty, and then they check it over?
I know it means in retrospect, yes. But at the same time, if John Beaton thinks it's outside the box, he thinks it's outside the box. Mm-hmm. I thought the thing we had agreed on, it is definitely difficult to tell in real time.
Yeah.
So I bet he wishes he had, if that's a kind of roundabout way of looking at it. But that's surely just speaking from the knowledge we've got now.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't imagine the outcry if he starts giving penalties he doesn't.
Yeah, no, I'm not for that at all. I don't think any fault can be laid at John Beaton's door in terms of this, because, like I said, in real time, it's extremely difficult for him to make that judgment. And like you said, I get what Kenny's saying. You know, looking back on it now, knowing what we do know, it would have been easier if we blew for a penalty, then they would have had to check it. But we don't want referees doing that. We don't want them, you know, guessing what's in the box, what's outside the box. If he thinks it was outside the box, which he did, he gave the free kick. He did his bit correctly. I think the problems came thereafter. So, yeah, in terms of John Beaton, I don't think he's done anything wrong. I think he actually refereed the game really well.
Do you think it's clearly down the list of things you take away from the VAR review that Willie Collum did, but I feel like learning that fact that many people didn't know that it's got nothing to do with Cherney's foot doesn't change the outcome. VAR still should have spotted it, but that probably does highlight how difficult a call it would have been in real time, because you're actually then judging as the shirt over the line, something that's in the air, you know what I mean, rather than the foot. So I in real time, that must be extremely
difficult. I think
even difficult.
The engagement starts away from the
exactly.
box and then
finishes
exactly. at the box. So first time seeing it, and look, the Rangers players don't appeal at
no,
first
not
time
one.
Seeing it either. Mm-hmm. But then when we're privy to the replay on telly, that's when I'm like, oh, if this goes to VAR, this could be a penalty. So, real time is difficult. It doesn't look as if it's in the box.
Yeah,
real time for me.
I think we all know what you mean, Kenny, but I don't know if at the moment you can do that. What have you made of like the reaction, if you like Willie Collum's admission that it was wrong, Rangers' response?
When it comes to it, I'm probably a Rangers supporter over Celtic. As much as it really, really gets to me, it changes history. But nothing you can do about it. I mean, it's actually a shame now that all the football forum is quite entertaining, but it's all just this. And we should really just draw a line in the sand now and just say, look, it's happened. But
I know. I get that feeling, and some people will be worn down by it. How do you draw the line before Willie Collum speaks about it, though? Mm-hmm. And then how, I said it, get ready, because tomorrow Philippe Clement's going to have a press conference, and I'm pretty certain what the first 10 plus questions are going to be.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's wrong to ask them either, really, is it? So round and round we go, and maybe in January 2nd, maybe there'll be another refereeing controversy.
Who's going to be involved?
Yeah, he wants to be in there. Yeah.
I know. Get Roger in there.
Oh yeah,
doesn't
Roger
miss
the snitch.
A trick, that guy. Thanks to Kenny. 0141 951 1025. Give us a call. We'll speak to you next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now. Oh, come all ye faithful, and hope your team is joyful and triumphant. Merry Christmas from Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Marvin Bartley and Simon Donnelly are here. 01419511025. Absolutely no prizes for guessing what the number one topic has been. It's been yet more fallout from the League Cup final, with Willie Collum conducting his VAR review, explaining he thought it was a mistake, Rangers' response, and so on. There are other big stories doing the rounds out there as well, though, that I'd be keen to get your thoughts on. So whatever you've got for us, 01419511025. If anyone's got any other sort of questions or things you want maybe cleared up or looked at from the VAR review and the things that are said and the way things work. I mean, I don't know if anyone's noticed, you know, there are loads of other incidents in the VAR review.
No one cares about that.
I think everyone just
focused on one.
Yeah.
Turned it off.
Watch the first 7 minutes and then that was
at
it.
At that moment. I mean, incredible, but there we go. Give us your thoughts. Do you know what I thought one was interesting? Just quite quickly, just again as a learning, for us all to learn together. You know, we've now got this KMI panel that looks at incidents. And last week they came out and said that they thought Rangers should have had a handball for the incident at St Johnstone, mm-hmm. and it should have been a penalty. And understandably, because I get the way people's minds have gone, Rangers fans might say, I see, well, there we go, there's another penalty we've been done out of because the KMI panel said so. But on this VAR review, Willie Collum actually said, that's never a penalty for me. And it shows that the KMI panel are separate from mm-hmm. the SFA. You know, it's not the same thing.
Yep.
And he actually said, if that had been given as a penalty on field, he'd want it overturned. It was that much of not a penalty. So it just shows there are a few different layers there.
Yeah.
Interesting? Maybe not. But for geeks like me...
No, it is interesting.
Just
and
to
it's
note,
right.
to note the different layers that we've got there. And
yeah.
they are governed by different people. Anyway, got a teaser for you.
Right answers for this, have we?
I actually don't even know, because it's a complex question. Thanks to James in South Korea who sent it in.
Oh, nice.
He's obviously a man of the world, because this is about your geography, sort of.
Oh, no.
Okay.
Strongest subject.
Among the 12 top UEFA-ranked leagues, mm-hmm. difficult yeah. already,
okay.
there are 6 clubs who are based outside their national capital city, but hold the record for that country's domestic league wins. Right? Just mm-hmm. as an example. See if Scotland was one of the top 12
yeah.
countries. We would count, because Glasgow is where that record would be held, right?
Yep.
So
right.
among the current top 12 UEFA-ranked leagues, there are 6 clubs based outside their national capital city who hold the record for that country's most titles.
Manchester.
Yes. Right. Mm-hmm. So which club?
United.
Right. So Manchester United is an answer. You only need 5 more like that, if that makes sense to you.
Yeah, that does.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Any others? No? Maybe. So what would be like wrong answers then, just to help people understand the question?
Milan.
No. I think that's right, no?
Not quite. So explain your thinking. Let's you, say it out loud, and then people
Milan.
Get the thought process. Right,
AC
I'm telling
Milan
you that's wrong.
But yeah, Juventus.
Juventus. There we go. So
Turin.
Rome is the capital.
Yeah.
But Juve are from Turin, and they're the record title holders in Italy.
Marseille.
No. Okay. Let's get back to it a bit later on. Okay. 01419511025 is the number that you...
I'm just happy I understood.
I know, it's quite tricky, I have to say.
You explained that well, to be honest. You actually... Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Took me 20 seconds to digest it.
Anyway, it's difficult, it is, I have to say. Right, give us a call if you want to talk anything, really. I mean, loosely related to football, if you can. If you've got any holiday advice questions from these two since I've just returned. you can do. But give us all your thoughts, whether it is VAR, whether it's something else. Does the Kieran Tierney story interest you, Simon? I'm sure it does.
Yeah, but listen, it raised its head about a year ago, I think. There was interest there, whether it, you know, was valid, I don't know. But yeah, listen, he's a fantastic football player. He was excellent at Celtic. Watched him come through the ranks, went down to Arsenal. He's obviously not had his injury problems to seek, but I think Kieran Tierney would be a no-brainer. Obviously finance and certain things like that dictate, but I think any Celtic fan out there would welcome Kieran Tierney back with open arms.
Come on, Mr. Arsenal, what are you saying to it?
Firstly, disappointed that he's been allowed to leave the club, you know, without them triggering that year's option. I know he's had his injury problems, but you know, when he was playing, he was very, very good for Arsenal. So good that he was being linked with other clubs. I think Manchester City at the time, and maybe Real Madrid. So yeah, it's massively disappointing that, you know, he is being allowed to leave. He played in the cup against Palace yesterday, very, very good down at left hand side. I know, you know, Arteta wants to play with an inverted fullback, but you know, they need different options. And you know, he's one of them that, looking back at the Everton game where Arsenal drew, they could have done with him, you know, bombing down the outside. I think, you know, he's athletic. He has a good quality of cross as well. And, you know, I agree with Simon. If Celtic can do it, then it is a no-brainer for them. But I just don't think that financially they'll be able to get anywhere near what he's on now. And I think there'll be other clubs. If there's not other clubs in the Premier, they'd be silly not to, you know, be trying to take him.
Let's bring in Paul, who's a Celtic fan. What have you made of this, Paul?
I'll come in to talk about the Kieran Tierney thing in a minute. I just want my 2 minutes of fame about the whole VAR thing. I've got a binary kind of argument about it. It's like the shoplifters before CCTV went in, they're caught red-handed. I mean, the guy that was on earlier talking about you're five times more likely to get a VAR decision, that would concur, because historically it was the opposite. I mean, you've actually got historic evidence of this with the likes of certain referees of a certain vintage after dinner speakers talking about all the banter, you know, the Jim McCluskey when he get the Kilmarnock game, played the extra time, and Kilmarnock scored, Mike McCurry. I mean, you could go on. So, I mean, if it is karma that it's coming the other way, it's actually pretty funny, which I don't think it is. I mean, you say, why would a referee want to go and ruin their own life potentially by having, making their life so difficult as that? But it's interesting times. It's obviously good for the programme because the ratings go up, but it's a squirrel, and as far as I'm concerned, that the Rangers might just use as a diversion tactic.
But with respect on that point, right, because I get it, believe me, I don't particularly enjoy the same discussion every single night, but you wouldn't say that if it was the other way around, Paul. That you wouldn't say it was a squirrel the other way around. You just wouldn't. That's the nature of it. So a wee acknowledgement of that, I think, would be fair.
Yeah, well, maybe, but a squirrel in the sense that there are so many other things endemic and wrong with this. And by the way, I wanted to come on to talk about Marvin as my next big thing as a model for
this.
My
producer
my
told me you were phoning about Kieran Tierney. What a bunch of liars we've got in there.
No, I did. I'm coming on to talk about that. If you all allow me to. But I mean, and a squirrel in the sense that, you know, how long have we got? You know,
not that long, if I'm being honest.
Right. Okay. Well, we had 5 nights last year about Nadine over a park to play in, and then at the beginning of the season, Rangers didn't have one. So anyway, we'll move on. Kieran Tierney. I don't think he should come back to Celtic at this juncture. He's a professional footballer. He can earn a lot more money getting another contract somewhere else. And he's a local boy, ex-Motherwell, brought up Motherwell, same as myself, and alumni, my old school and all that. But I think it's an emotional decision rather than a professional one. And secondly, there's only been Bertie Auld that's ever came back to Celtic for a second time round and made a success. You're Charlie Nicholas, Mark Aveni, Andy Walker, etc. It doesn't work, in my opinion.
That's fair. I mean, in terms of the history, I don't know if they mean that means players can never come back and make a go of it. What do you think?
I think Tierney can. I really do. If he was to choose Celtic as his next club, as we spoke about, I think he's 27 years of age. You know, I think a better player comes back than the one that left. I think when he left, he was a player with a lot of potential.
That's not my point, Gordon.
Sorry.
No, no, my point is he's got another bigger contract.
Yeah. I think Marvin was probably getting to that.
Yeah. But no, I do agree with you, Paul. I've said the same kind of off air that, you know, Kieran Tierney, for me, at his age, can, you know, go and earn more money elsewhere. I think he can give the Premier League another crack. I think there'll be teams abroad that want him as well. And if he was to do that for, you know, 2 or 3 years and still come back to Celtic at the age of 30,
he's
still
27, Ethan.
That's what I mean. He's still such a young man. You know, he's basically hitting the prime of his career now where, you know, where he should be. I know he's had the injuries, but he'll be hitting kind of his prime now. So, yeah, you know, another 2 or 3 years, he can still come back to Celtic and still contribute, by the way, not just to be a passenger and an emotional return. But I agree with you, Paul. There is more money to be earned elsewhere. But if he is to come back next season, I think it's fantastic for the Scottish game, and Celtic have, you know, a real player on their hands. That, as I said, one left with potential, but now I think he, you know, Kieran Tierney fit. There's not many better fullbacks than him in world football.
You can agree on half of it then. You both think that actually there'll be a financially more lucrative offer out there, but where you differ is you think he would be a success at coming back
100%.
To Celtic.
100%.
He's 27. Paul doesn't. If he can get himself, he's had injury problems of late. If you've got a fit Kieran Tierney, it definitely elevates that Celtic team.
It's an interesting point Paul makes. Do people ever go back to Celtic and make it?
It's an interest. I mean, I need to be careful. Two of the boys were my teammates. And listen, I learned a hell of a lot of Charlie Nicholas.
Emilio Izaguirre wasn't as good in his second spell, was he, Paul? Who else is there? Sean Maloney? Yeah. Well, he was all right. Was he good in his second spell?
Again, but they never ever hit the heights, do they? I mean, the boy Balogun at Rangers is actually doing well just now as an example against my argument. But I just think in general, I suppose the wider argument is, we were talking about Peter Lowell. Kieran Tierney was sold to Arsenal unfit, and you could argue he's never been fit. So there's that worry for me that if it was a wage structure breaker or whatever it was, you know, then what are you actually getting? And I don't think he should risk his legacy right at this point be doing that.
I think if it was a fit Kieran Tierney, we wouldn't be having this conversation, though, Paul. I think it's cravat to why he is, you know, in Celtic's grasp, so just speaking of being linked with him. I think if he was fit, he probably wouldn't be at Arsenal anymore. As I said, you know, Manchester City and Real Madrid were linked with him. So, you know, I get it. You know, it's one of those risks that, listen, if Celtic could afford, you know, to bring him in, even if, I don't know, if he's the highest paid player there, you would bring him back, definitely, because even Kieran Tierney coming back here for a year, 18 months, he's still a sellable asset. You know, he's then 28 and a half, maybe 29, and if he can keep his fitness, you know, he's a fullback that's worth a lot of money.
Do you not think if he was coming back, it would be to stay back, if that makes sense?
No, I think he's a player who does have massive ambitions. I think he goes out there and, when I say this, does his best in every game, and, you know, he wants to be flying down at left-hand side, he wants assists, he wants to contribute going forward, he wants to be a, you know, modern-day fullback. So naturally, Gordon, you do that, you come to Celtic, play in the Champions League, you do well. Domestically, you do well. Teams are going to want you. Even if in your mindset you've got, I'm going to stay here, the way he plays football doesn't allow for that. You know, people always are going to look at him. And listen, someone might come in for him if he did come back here and he turn it down. But I do think if he did come back here, he'd be someone who would go on again.
Do you think it was always that sort of, it's not written? I mean, Paul mentioned karma earlier on. We're now taking the show in a wacky direction. But so I'm not saying it was always going to happen, but maybe the feeling, Simon, that he would end his career at Celtic. I'm not sure if, you know, can you see him back? And now Marvin's got him coming back and going again.
I don't see that happening. I think if Kieran Tierney, as I say, was to come back to Celtic, I think it would be for the rest of his days. I think he'd come back here. You know, he's a massive Celtic fan. He's experienced, I think, some good experiences down at Arsenal. He's been out to Spain, linked with big teams at one point. I think if he was to come back here at this stage, a fully fit Kieran Tierney at 27 would be an amazing asset for Celtic, but I would see him staying.
Do you think the difference is, Paul, because you've done us a good turn, Paul, and given me a nice bit of kind of quiz question, asking people who's the best that has come back for a second spell. I'm assuming, you know, the Charlie Nicholas or whoever, that's not going to be in Brendan Rodgers' head, is it? He's just thinking about a guy that he had an incredible working relationship with, got so much out of, and is probably, injuries permitting, a better player than he was then. So I wonder if that would be more Brendan Rodgers' thought process.
Possibly. I just, it's maybe just a gut feeling on my side, but I mean, they maybe could help
Callum McGregor with the leadership and, you know, all of that with the club. I mean, he's obviously died in the Bill Celtic, and, you know, we all know that. But I just think it's not a no-brainer, put it that way, you know, as far as that goes. Mm-hmm. Can I give you a quick Simon Donnelly anecdote?
Oh, why not? Absolutely.
Segueing into Charlie Nicholas before I go.
Oh, good. I'm looking forward to this. Absolutely.
Yep. So Simon, I'm not your biggest fan. I've never forgiven you for missing that sitter against Rangers in the semi-final cup. You know, now you're long enough on the show not to know.
Rubbish. You forget things.
You did scoop the money. I hosted a golf day at Glen Eagles for the Celtic team before the Raith Rovers Cup final.
God.
And it was the death nail because you won the money. I don't know what handicap you were on. And the
it's phone bill
was I said Charlie Nicholas, and I think Paul Dalglish and John Collins with his new predator. So I'm
great story back. That.
it's gone back.
Any other links? Time. Any other links between that cup final and this show, Paul? No, is that as done?
No, I'm just nobody else. Fucking Marvin is my model for Sorsha clothing, but he's no. I've not managed to reach out to his agent yet. I saw too much him in the dressing room at a certain health club.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, that's not what I expected to be talking about on tonight's show.
I know who that is, yeah.
We've just got...
You know who he is?
Yeah, from the gym.
How refreshing is it, though, that cup final gets brought up and it's nothing to do with Gordon Diallo? That's what I was alluding to. Brilliant, Paul. Good stuff. That was Paul.
Tom Mampo.
Thank
Come
you very
on.
Much.
Horrible memories,
yeah. To Paul
good.
On there.
I'm going to put that on YouTube.
The thing, though, about this Kieran Tierney stuff that, you know, Paul says he doesn't think it's a no-brainer, which is fine. You think it would be. I mean, I think this question's been asked before, for what it's worth. So it just makes me think that there's a real desire on Celtic's part.
Oh, definitely.
I mean, I think this subject has been approached at Celtic previously, and at that point, then the finances really look in a different planet because you've got a couple of years left or a couple of years longer than he does now on the Arsenal contract. Do you wonder if it's getting closer? Like, even if it's not this time, you know,
it's closer. It definitely is closer, Gordon, than it would have been, you know, before. And like we said, that's probably down to injuries. That's down to Arsenal now saying they don't want to keep him. The only thing in the back of my mind that I'm now beginning to think is Arsenal announcing it now. Maybe they're going to try and sell him in the January rather than let him go for nothing at the end of the season. But yeah, I get what Paul's saying. But for me, it's a no. If Kieran Tierney was 35. Then I would say no, it's not a no-brainer, but 27.
It's nothing.
It really has to be.
It's just because he's been injured. And
you know, it's like sometimes you go to a different club and then all of a sudden that just changes. Yeah. It just, you know,
and
fresh
you're talking about the way Kieran Tierney bombs up and down. He's played centre-back for Scotland.
Yeah.
The more mature he becomes, he might become that, you know, left centre-back.
Yeah.
The way he reads the game.
Right, quickly, it's slightly confusing teaser, but I think we can do it. In the top 12 UEFA-ranked leagues, there are 6 clubs who are based outside of their country's capital but hold the record for that country's league wins. I know it sounds complex, but if you think Man United, England, Manchester's not the capital, right? Juventus, Italy, Turin is not the capital. So you've got 2. Get any others for us?
Bayern Munich.
Yes, well done. Because Munich is not the capital. And we'll get the rest of the answers next.
Clyde One's Cash for Kids Mission Christmas.
With J&D Pierce, Scotland's premier structural steel specialist. Think steel, think quality, think Pierce.
I mean, in case you're in any doubt that Christmas is very much here, Marvin Bartley has got his nice new cardigan on, and we are heading along to the Clyde One Christmas party after this. How will Hugh Keevans be when we arrive? What shape will Gordon Diehl be in? We will find out. Simon Donnelly has wimped out on us.
Yeah,
shall we say?
I was wondering what you were going to say.
I wanted to use different terminology, but it's a family show. Yeah. And speaking of families, Cash for Kids Mission Christmas here to make sure every child gets a Christmas to remember across Glasgow, the West, and Ayrshire. With your help, we want to try and make sure that struggling families, first of all, just get the basics: food, heating, clothing, and maybe even something for the children to open on the big day. Simi are based in Townhead. They work alongside young people and their families. Molly Buckingham explains the work they do to remove the stigma of asking for food packages.
Cash for Kids has helped us immensely over the years. We get money from them. The Christmas money in particular will pay for Christmas parties for the young people. But we also do a big, what we call Christmas fakeaway program. This is to help the families that we work with at a really expensive time with food costs. Just helps the kids make sure they're getting nutritious food over the Christmas holidays.
I don't know if you know this, but Cash for Kids celebrating its 40th birthday this year as well. And although we wish we didn't have to, we're really proud to say that we've helped over 2 million children in that time across Glasgow and the West. Unfortunately, though, the fight goes on. So if you can help out, please do. Clyde1.com/mission. And that's Cash for Kids Mission Christmas, supported by J&D Pierce.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check out the Clyde One Facebook page now. Merry Christmas from Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We'd be lucky to get one wise man.
Marvin Bartley and Simon Donnelly are here. The final part of tonight's show, where we take more calls if we can. I'm running out of time, but we could manage it and try and complete the full-time teaser. Thanks to James from South Korea, of all places. You two really are worldwide superstars. Can you name, amongst the top 12 UEFA leagues, there are 6 clubs who are based outside that country's capital city but have that country's record for the most league titles? I know that's wordy once you start hearing them. England's, as an example, is Manchester United. Of course, not the capital, famously. Italy's is Juventus. Germany's, Bayern Munich. So you've got 3, which means 3 to get.
Barcelona?
No, Madrid has. Real Madrid have got the most titles, and Madrid's the capital.
What about you were saying Portugal? Porto?
It's Benfica, and they're from Lisbon, so no. Okay, so you're trickier than you think. I mean, no surprise, the remaining 3 are really tough.
Are they?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Top 12.
But then again, it's the top 12 leagues, so it's not like a country you've never heard of. Because let me just help you by giving you more kind of wrong answers, if you like, because France wouldn't be right either, because PSG now have the record. The Netherlands wouldn't be right, because Ajax have it, and it's Amsterdam.
Yeah.
Belgium wouldn't be right, because Anderlecht have it, and Brussels is the...
Sweden. Who does that leave?
Sweden? Is Sweden on there? No.
Nope. You've got 3 to get.
He's going to have to give us the countries.
Yeah.
Ugh, that's a bit easy then.
Is it?
Yeah. Well, no. Yeah, I'd say so.
Give us the wrong countries anyway.
Yeah, I would say so. One of them's quite cold. You wouldn't like it. That's all I've got. Of everybody I know, you hate the cold the most. What cold countries have we got in Europe's top 12 leagues?
Something in top 12.
League. Oh, come on. The geography's letting them down more than anything.
Poland?
No, I'd say colder. Not that I'm an expert on these things, but
cold.
Come on. This is like pulling teeth now. This is really is.
What time's it?
Is that music? We're talking about this too long. Are Hearts going to get the job done tonight?
Yes, yeah, they will. They need to. It's one of those games that, you know, obviously being the last game, they look towards that thinking, if it came down to it, he needs to get 3 points. Not that they wanted to get to this point, that, you know, they're fairly confident. I think it's the easiest game that they would have in the competition. Like you said, I know they sit, you know, bottom of the league.
And what currently. A shot in the arm that would be, though, to go bottom of the league but progress in Europe. And I know it's a different format now, but those words, progress in Europe, are alien to most Scottish clubs, never mind outside of Glasgow.
The hard thing about that, Gordon, like you said, it's brilliant for them, it's brilliant for Scottish football. But it's more games on a Thursday night when you do go through. It's almost a catch-22. You're in a relegation battle,
more,
so to speak.
More cash, though, to finance. Spend money in January to get you out of the relegation battle.
Yeah, so that's the thing. I have to spend that cash. But yeah, and to answer your question, you know, I can't see anything other than a comfortable Hearts win.
Craig Gordon goal. Oyugoke, Halkett, Rowles, Penrice, probably the back 4-ish. Cammy Devlin, Macaulay Tate playing. Jan Danda, Alan Forrest. And probably Shankland off James Wilson. James Wilson off. Yeah, I'd imagine James Wilson and Shankland basically the most attacking.
You put Tate in, fair play. Yeah, 2 young boys, Wilson and Tate, both
he's
playing.
Only 19.
Yeah, Wilson I think is like 17. Scored a couple of goals so far this season. We'll lead the line. Real pacey centre forward. Another young Scottish player playing. Can only be a good thing.
I mean, are you a particular expert on petrol?
No
club and
no.
Just the price you've seen.
No. Guess what? They're not from one of Europe's top 12
leagues. The incentive
leagues.
Is there. You're at home. Go and win the game. They know the job that they have to do to get through. Go and win the game. Tynecastle fans will be out, and you say it's a shot in the arm. Financially, get into the next stage of Europe.
Well, that's the thing, because it's so strange that you would go into a European game and your fans would really not accept anything less than a win at this stage of European competition. But that's what this new format's done. We kind of spoke about Celtic and Bratislava, and all of a sudden you get into a Champions League game as an overwhelming favourite. Hearts are maybe in a similar boat tonight, aren't they?
Yeah, definitely in a similar boat. You know, they'll be hoping for the same result as well that Celtic got in their one. But yeah, as you said, you know, they're favourites going into it. The new format, you know, is brilliant for football fans. It's brilliant for the game because it keeps every game competitive. There's always something on the line, and this is Hearts' big chance tonight. It's a cup final, so to speak, for them.
You know, usually Thursday, I'm all off this week. I mean, you two are usually here on a Wednesday, so I don't know what you're doing. It doesn't feel like a Thursday because Mark Wilson and Gordon DL aren't here. But usually Thursday's like the gateway to the weekend because of all this debate about VAR all week. I've actually got big fixtures just around the corner.
Yeah, and the fact that you're saying about Clement's press office press conference tomorrow. He'll be talking about it again tomorrow night. You only start addressing Saturday's games on Saturday.
5 to 3.
Probably
a quarter to five.
Big weekend coming up though.
Oh, massive, massive weekend. As you said, you know, one of the callers was speaking about how will Rangers bounce back and will there be a hangover? They can't afford for a hangover because Simon's already spoke about the points difference between them and Celtic, but not only that them and Aberdeen as well, need to close that gap first. So yeah, they can't afford to have a hangover. They need to win that game of football against Dundee on Saturday, definitely.
Right, come on, the point of the full-time teaser, it's supposed to be kind of quick and we gloss over it and we have a bit of fun, but you don't pull teeth the way we are. So Manchester United, Juve, Bayern, who are the other three from the top 12 leagues in Europe that are the record title holder from their country, but they don't come from the capital of that country? Come on, I told you one of the countries was cold. Name the cold countries for goodness sake. Yes, okay, good. Traditionally, it was the best team from Norway. Hopeless, absolutely hopeless. Celtic, I feel like Celtic have played them loads, Simon. I could be wrong, it just feels that way.
Rosenborg.
Great. Okay, they're from Trondheim. Yeah. Okay, Rosenborg. Right. Much warmer then. Go the other way. Greece. Quickly, come on.
Greece.
The big Greek club.
Panathinaikos.
No, the other ones.
Olympiakos.
Yes, they're from not the capital, not from Athens. And lastly, I'm disappointed in you for this one because I feel like this is quite famously not the capital, if that makes sense. Turkey.
Galatasaray.
Yes, because they're from Istanbul and Ankara.
He took all my energy taking that 10 away from me. He really has.
Simon Donnelly, enjoy your Horlicks and putting your feet up and reading your book.
Just behave, boys. Just behave.
I'll take Marvin Bartley to the Clyde One Christmas party. See how we
have
get
a good
on.
Time.
Check in on the rest of the team and whatever happens back tomorrow at 6 o'clock. The lineup is all over the place this week. Scott Allen and Roger Hanna for a Friday night. Sounds good to me. We'll see you then. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday.